Amen. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you this morning, we will be in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. As you turn to your place this morning, I just want to say I thank the Lord once again for all the opportunities we have coming up this Tuesday. It may not seem like much to a lot of people, but we have a wonderful opportunity as we're going out, knocking on doors to invite people to Bible school, to invite people to camp meeting, to invite people to the resource clinic. But ultimately, because we as Mountain City Baptist Church, we don't go out unless our goal is to share the good news of the gospel with them. And we've got a grand opportunity there. And then we have Bible school Wednesday through Friday, where we'll get to have fun with the kids, but preach the gospel to them. And then the following week, we get to worship together in camp meeting as a county. And then Saturday, we get to share the good news of the gospel through the resource clinic. We've got a lot of wonderful opportunities to serve people, to meet their physical needs, just as ORH does, with the sole focus and purpose of meeting the physical so they can meet the spiritual. That's what we want to do. But we must admit, and I admit, we cannot do that apart from God. We have got to have God's power. We've got to have God's touch, God's blessing. He needs to give us grace, fill us with the Spirit. We cannot do it without Him. And as I was thinking about everything that we have coming up, this scripture, this text, this thought came to my mind that I hope will speak to your heart as it has mine, to let us know that we need God, but through God, He can do great things. And that, and all glory goes to Him for that. So, Acts chapter number 2, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, just beginning. So if you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin by reading verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." And I want to preach this morning on the blueprint for power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Jesus. Lord, I thank You once again for saving my soul. Please help me, Lord, never again to take for granted the salvation You've given me. And I just praise Your holy name for that. I thank You for the calling You placed upon my life. Thank You for bringing me to Mountain City Baptist Church. I thank You for giving me this opportunity to preach Your word today. I pray, Lord, this morning You'd fill me with Your Spirit. As I heard a preacher say one time, I pray You'd empty me of me and fill me with Your Spirit. Control my lips. Help me to rightly divide Your word. Open the ears of the congregation today to hear what You have to say to us. I pray You'd help me to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Lord, if You don't speak this morning, then not much will be said. Lord, I pray that my words wouldn't matter, but Yours would this morning. I pray, Jesus, in my weakness, that You would be made strong. Lord, please help me now. Put a hedge about this place. Put a hedge about our minds and empower us. Give us the grace to focus on You for the next little bit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as we look at this text, it is point number one, but it's a little bit by way of introduction. I want to look at the circumstances kind of surrounding the text that we have before us here today. The first thing that I want to point out leading up to this, obviously, we have here the day of Pentecost. We're going to go back 50 days before this And we had the Passover on which Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So all these disciples that are together in chapter 2, verse 1, they had seen their Lord crucified on the cross. And as you all know, Jesus did that for you and for me. He bore my sin and your sins on that cross. They had witnessed him die, the worst death probably anyone could ever die. They had seen him buried, and then not only had he been crucified, but he'd also come back to life. He had resurrected from the dead, being the first fruits for us. So his rising lets us know that one day we will rise. They had witnessed him come back to life, be resurrected. And then after that, some days later, Jesus had commissioned them, as we know in Matthew chapter number 28, is one of the passages where he commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's in Mark 16:15. And so they had been given, they seen him die, they see him resurrect again. And then he had commissioned them. He gave them a very, very tall task. But then he says to them, he commands them something very important in chapter 1 of Acts. Turn with me there. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. We see he's commissioned them, given them the great commission to go and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." And this is very familiar scripture, verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So we see here they have seen him crucified, come back to life. He has gave them the great commission. Our sole purpose as children of God for being on this earth is to glorify God in service to him by sharing the good news of the gospel. But they didn't go out and do this commission. He wouldn't let them go out yet. He commanded them to wait on the Holy Spirit because they could not do this great commission, complete this great task apart from the empowerment of God. They had a great task to complete, but they couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit living within them. And at this time, the Holy Spirit had not come yet to dwell within the heart of believers. They were still living in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit, and in a sense, the Holy Spirit would fill for a task, then remove himself. But the Lord knew that after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as he ascended up into heaven, the Bible says if he ascended, he would send a comforter and helper to go alongside us and to empower us to complete the task he has given us. So they had a great command here. The Lord commanded them to wait until they received the Holy Ghost to complete the task ahead of them. Because that task and any task the Lord has given us as his children, like I said earlier, we cannot complete apart from him. We must have the power of God. So many times I have, and I'm sure many believers have tried to complete the work of God in their own power, yet to fail. To fall flat on our face and to realize we cannot do it alone. And from the very, very beginning, the greatest task ever given believers, God wanted them to know, you can only do it through me. Like, remember what he said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. We need the power of God to do what he's called us to do. They needed it to complete the Great Commission, as do we. And as we think about, I talked about this earlier, everything we've got coming up. I thank God we're a part of, like Brother Chris said, we're a part of a church that does stuff all the time. We got something going on all the time. And if we don't have something going on during the week, I'm sitting at home like scared to death. Oh, what did I miss? What did I forget we had at the church? Because that's how it is here. And I praise God for that. But may God help us never to get to the point where we think we can do it on our own. We may be able to go through the motions for a little while, but God's not going to bless it. We need God's power. We need God's touch. They needed God's touch in Honduras, and I believe God helped them and empowered them and watched over them, and we need it to do the task that we have before us here. So those are the circumstances. But now I want to look at the components
the components here. We see the blueprint for power. What are the components? What needs to be done? And I want to point out the main thing in all of this is unity in the body. Now, we have the sweet Holy Spirit living within us. We have that power that it talked about in Acts 1:8. But if we're going to do the work of God, I believe we need to learn a lesson from the disciples in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we'd like the Bible says there, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Unity is the key, church. The Bible says in Psalm 133, verse number 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We're all His children. We're all part of the family. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're a part of the body. And if the body is to work as it should, as God wants it to, the body has got to work together in unity. And we've talked about that in the previous weeks as we talked about finding your place in God's work. Every part of the body is needed. Like Brother Chris said earlier, he said all the workers need to come out for the resource clinic set up on that Friday night. And I thought in my mind, and I said, "Well, I'm going to say it later." We have learned that all you workers is all you workers, right? It's everybody. Everybody can't do the same thing, but everybody has a part. And if we're going to have the power of God, the touch of God, if God's going to work in our visitation, if God's going to work in our VBS, if God's going to work in camp meeting, if God's going to work in the resource clinic, then Mountain City Baptist Church, if no other church in Johnson County, has got to come together as a body, working together, putting our differences aside, putting any petty little things that may cause us to aggravate and argue with each other, put it to the side and focus on God and His work. But so many times, we allow little things in our lives to come in, things that aggravate us, things that cause divisions, and the devil loves that, because when there's divisions in the church, the body cannot function as it should. Unity is the key, church. We've got to be unified in the ways we're about to see if we're going to have God's power, God's touch, God's help on what we have coming in the future and what we've got going on even past these next couple weeks. These next couple weeks are really on my heart and on my mind. So we see the components. The first thing we see, they were together in one place. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were together physically in the same place. That's very important. We cannot be unified as the body of Christ if we are not together in one place. You see, that's one thing COVID did that I absolutely hate. Churches are not coming together as a body anymore. Maybe one day a week, maybe two, maybe. Some churches I know of still aren't meeting. They're still online. And I know they're in different situations and different circumstances, but if we are to be unified as a body, we have got to come together, I believe, in one place. And I've got Bible to back it up. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And how do we provoke one another to love and good works? Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." We don't need to forsake this. The world we live in today is doing that. And that's what it says here. "As the manner of some is." And COVID has open the door for many churches to say, well, let's just have one service a week and go virtual the rest of the time. Or let's just go virtual all the time And the devil says, yes, I've got them. There can be no unity if we're not coming together. And I'm not just saying have church for the sake of having church. I'm saying have church where the body can grow together and iron can sharpen iron. And we can bear one another's burdens. And like it says there, we can provoke one another unto love and good works. We've got to come together to do that. These people here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, it would have been, I mean, God could have still done it, but it would have been a little different if one was at his house, and one was at his house, and one was across the sea over there, and over there. No, the Lord wanted together in one place for him to work and for him to demonstrate his power and give them the Holy Spirit. Church, we've got to come together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says the closer we get to the return of our Lord, we should meet more. But what's the church doing today? Meeting way less. We need to come together more. We need each other, church. It's about to get worse. It's already getting worse, but it's about to get worse than that. And we need to know we're not in this alone. We need to know that we're fighting this fight together. And we've got to come together in the same place to do that. And I could preach it till I'm blue in the face, but it's not really going to have an impact till the Holy Spirit helps you to understand that. And I think at Mountain City Baptist Church, the Holy Spirit does that. You realize the importance of this place. When we come together to worship, we come together to preach, we come together to fellowship, we're a family here. We need this. And may God help us never to do it less, but to do it more, because the day's approaching, and as that day approaches, it's going to get worse. And we're going to need each other more than ever. So we see that they were together in one place. But they were also together with one purpose. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They had one purpose in mind for being where they were at. Church, if we're going to complete the work of God and He's going to bless it with His presence, His power, and save souls and change lives in a manner that lasts forever, then we've got to be unified in purpose. And I think Mountain City Baptist Church is, but we all must admit we can always do it better. We can always focus more on Him. We can always do what the Bible says, laying aside every weight, things that may be slowing us down to be more effective for Him. And that, I mean, our purpose obviously is but sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, winning souls, discipling souls so that they can go out and do the same. And I believe we're unified in that purpose. These people here were unified in that purpose, but we must always stay that way. It should never be about anything else at Mountain City Baptist. It's not about me. It's not about Daniel Jones. It's not about Brother Chris Lifford. It's not about anybody in this building. We're not here for us. We're here for Him and to do what He says and to share His good news. And it needs to always be that way. If God's going to bless it and going to work, that should be our purpose. We should be unified. We should be together with one purpose. So we're together in one place. We're together in one purpose. And they were together also with one prayer. Go to chapter 1 with me. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they had one purpose and they had one prayer. I believe that prayer because they remember they have been commissioned. They've been given the tall task of sharing the good news of the gospel with the entire world. And we see in Scripture that they did that. Praise God. But I believe they had a prayer as we should as well. I believe they were praying first for His presence. I mean, can you imagine these people? They've walked with Jesus in His ministry for 3.5 years. He died, was buried, rose again, and now has ascended up to heaven. And He says, go to Jerusalem and wait on the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were probably literally praying for His presence, praying for His help, because they had walked alongside Him in this hard Christian walk, but now they were there alone. They needed God's presence And I'm sure they were begging God, God, give us that comforter that you promised. And we need to realize we need to pray for God's presence. I mean, he dwells within every single believer. And I praise God for that. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I mean his manifest presence. I mean, if God's going to work, he's got to show up in a way that we can see it. In the sense of he works in hearts, change lives, just like he did in Isaiah when Isaiah was called to the ministry. Remember, when God showed up, Isaiah went down. When God shows up, it will drive people to their knees. It will change lives. If we want God to bless the visitation and Bible school and camp meeting and the resource clinic, we need God to manifest himself through us and to us and work in the hearts of those people that come. We need to pray for his presence. And then right alongside that, we need to pray for his power. We need to pray for his empowerment through us. What's the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we are to do what he's called us to do, he's going to do it through us. We need his empowerment. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need for him to do it through us. Because that's the only way it's going to get done. We need his power. The power talked about in Acts 1:8, the dunamis, dynamite. The power that we have access to in God to complete his work is amazing. But so many times we don't use it and we try to do it ourselves. If we beg God to give us the grace, the empowerment, to fill us with the Spirit to do his work, he'll do it in a very special way, and he'll do it in only a way where he will get the glory. They won't say, well, yeah, Tyler did that. No, they'll say, God did that. That's why the Bible says in our weakness, he's made strong. Because he does it in a way where he gets all the glory. So they prayed for his presence, they prayed for his power, and they prayed for his, I believe, provision. And I'm sure they had a lot of questions, and I knew they would have needs. And so do we with everything we've got going on, and I believe we should pray for that. Now, I don't believe that should take up, we talked about a while back, the bulk of our prayers. But the Bible does say that we should pray for his provision. But what it also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you're serving him, he will take care of you. We talked about that a while back. So we see the components. They were together in one place, one purpose, one prayer for his presence, power, provision. But I also believe they were together in praise. Look what day it was. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So the day of Pentecost, what was the historical significance? I won't go deep into it. But the day of Pentecost was to commemorate the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and later on they added to it the giving of the law of Moses. The primary objective of the day of Pentecost was a kind of a celebration of thanksgiving for God's blessing upon them, upon the nation of Israel, because God had given the harvest. Initially, that's what it was for. Then because God gave them the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, and that's what the day of Pentecost was for. And maybe they were celebrating it, and they were thanking God for his provision, thanking God for the Word of God, but I can't help but think. I mean, remember what all they just saw. They just saw their Lord and Savior die on the cruel cross, thought they had lost him forever. But 3 days later, praise God, he rose from the dead and forever to be risen. And then he left them and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus had done everything that he said he would do. So I'm sure their sadness a few days earlier had went to joy and praise and happiness, because everything that he had said would happen, happened. So everything else that he said will happen is going to happen. And they're probably praising God for what he did for them. Because his death, burial, and resurrection means their faith in him forgave their sins, gave them the hope of heaven. And I'm sure they were praising God together in one accord in this moment. And we need to do the same, church. We need to worship. And that's another reason why we need to come together. Worshiping God and praising God for his goodness to us individually and as a body. Just as they were in one praise, I think we should be as well. So those are the components. Ultimately, we need to be unified in place, purpose, prayer, and praise. And the reason they were unified in all those areas was because they were focused on a person. Our focus should never change from him. Should always be on Jesus Christ. Just as Peter, I'll use this illustration all the time. He only walked on water as long as his eyes were on Jesus. And the only way we're going to do what he's called us to do, fulfill the Great Commission and win the world for him, is by keeping our eyes on him. You see, that is when the church breaks rank, is when they take their eyes off of him. If there's division in a church, division with people, it's because one or the other or both has taken their eyes off Jesus and put their eyes on the things around them. If we're going to be unified, it's all going to start with all of us putting our minds, our hearts, focused on him. And then we'll be unified in place, purpose, prayer, and praise. I guarantee it. You can't help but be. If you focus on Jesus for long enough, you're going to be praising God. You're going to be understanding that you're nothing, he's everything, and you're going to be relying upon him. We need to be focusing on him. So we see the circumstances, we see the components, and we see thirdly, and we're going to cover a lot of ground very quickly now, the conclusion. So they did all the things that I just said. And we see here the conclusion. What happened after they did it? They were in one accord in one place, just as Jesus told them to be. Look what the Bible says. First, the Lord blessed with his presence. Verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Lord blessed with their presence, just like in the Old Testament, when he gave a very specific outline for how the tabernacle should be built. The body came together, Israel came together, did all their individual parts, built the tabernacle together. When it was done God's way, in the very end, what did God do? The Bible says that God filled the tabernacle, filled it so much so that the priests couldn't even dwell in it. God blessed with his presence. You see, when you do God's way, he will bless with his presence. Just as he did here in Acts chapter 2, he will do for us. If we do it God's way, he'll show up Tuesday. If we do it God's way, he'll show up Wednesday through Friday. If we do it God's way, he'll show up at camp meeting. If we do it God's way, he'll show up at the resource clinic. Because that's God. You do it his way, you obey him, he will bless it with his manifest presence. And that is when lives will be changed. So we see here, the Lord blessed with his presence, but also he blessed with his power. Look at verses 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other tongues there means they were speaking language they didn't previously know. It wasn't gibberish that could not be understood. It was... say, it would be like me speaking Spanish. Well, any other language, period. I barely got English down. But God empowered them to do something that they previously could not do. Remember, pray for his presence, pray for his power. You see, when God shows up with his presence, he will empower his people to do things that he's called them to do. Maybe even things they didn't think they could do. You see, when God called me to preach, I knew I couldn't do it in my own power. But when I surrendered to him, he gave me the power, gave me the ability, and empowered me to do it. See, when God shows up, he will empower his people to do his work. That's why we need him, because we can't do it apart from him. And if we can do it apart from him, then it may not be his work. God, we need his presence, so we bless with his presence, we bless with his power. And then we see, thirdly, when God showed up, God's people started doing the thing, they started serving him, doing things they couldn't previously do apart from his power. It piqued the interest of the lost. You know, when God shows up, it will pique the interest of the people. God shows up in a church, it'll pique the interest of the community. I heard this morning, it was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I probably mess it up, but I think he said something along the lines of, "Get on fire for God, and the people around you will come watch you burn." We need to get on fire for God. If we will pray for his presence, power, and provision, God will show up. He will empower us to do his work. And then the community around us will notice. We got a taste of this, I believe, when Brother Bruce Fry came for revival. God moved in that week. And I praise God for that. And I know God moved in because people were getting saved, lives were getting changed, and people around the community were calling saying, what's going on at Mountain City Baptist Church? Were they not? People, not a lot of people, but some people calling and say, hey, who is this guy that's preaching? Who's this guy we've been listening to? You see, when God shows up, it tunes the ears of even the lost to, hey, something's going on there that we want to find out about. And I think we're part of a church that people's ears are tuned to, hey, what's going on there at Mountain City Baptist? And if it's to stay that way, we're going to need God's power. We're going to need His presence. And see, God piqued the interest of the lost. Then we see verses 14 through 36, and you're welcome. I'm not going to read all those verses. But we see there the gospel was preached. You see, when God's presence shows up, God will empower His people to do His work. It'll pique the interest of the lost. And when the lost come in and the gospel is preached in a place that has God's presence empowering His people, we see here, we saw there in verses 14 through 36, Peter preaches a wonderful message. And we see next, many were pardoned. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. All because God's people were unified. One place, one prayer, one praise, focused on one person. Then His presence showed up and He empowered His people. People were interested. The gospel was preached and lives were changed. And that's why we do what we do. But we need God's power to do it. Look what it says, verse 37 through 41. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For, that literally means there, because there's a lot of people in the United States that get hung up on this and the false religion. For means to be recognized with or to identify with the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So your salvation is by grace through faith. Then the first step of obedience is baptism, which identifies you with Jesus Christ, with the church. That's what that means. Verse number 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we see here that many were pardoned, many were saved. And we see finally, we see here the mark of a true move of God. We see here those that were pardoned persevered. Now, what I mean by that is once saved, always saved. If once saved, we talked about that this morning. But when God moves in and does a work, when God really does it, that work will last just as it did here. You know it was God because their souls were saved, their lives were changed, and they continued. I want God to do a work in Mountain City Baptist Church and in Johnson County that lasts. I don't want it to be, man, we had a good camp meeting. Woo! God moved in. We was shouting and praising God, and then a week later, did we have camp meeting last year? I want God to move in such a way where this county is impacted for years and years to come. Look what it says here in verses 42 through 47. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, you know God did it because it lasted. You know how I know it lasted? Because we're reading about it. When God does a work, it lasts forever. And that's what I want here. And I believe that's what you want. But if God's to do that, we're going to have to be unified. We're going to have to be unified in our place. We need to come together, church. We need to be together. I'm only going to say it once. I'm not going to harp on it. But we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if you're able to come, I know work hinders some. But if you're able to come, we need to be together. We need to be together. I'm not saying, well, bless God, you need to be here because I said so. No, we need each other. I need this. When I went on vacation, I wasn't in church for a week. I felt like I hadn't been in church in 6 months. And my goodness, I needed to be with you all. We need each other, church. We do. We need to be unified in place, purpose, prayer, and praise as we focus on one person, which is Jesus. If we do that, God will bless, I promise. He will manifest His presence. And that is when lives are changed. That's what we want, right? May God help us to do what we're supposed to do and come together as we strive to serve Him. Let's all, as everyone bows your head, eyes closed, Miss Anna comes to the piano. I don't know where this message finds you this morning. I knew where it found me as I was putting the message together. First thing we need to do with a child of God, as a child of God, is ask God to search me, know me, show me if there be any wicked way in me. If we're going to do this and come unified, we have got to come clean. Just as we talked about in Sunday school last week, if we're going to prepare to go to God's house and see Him move, we as God's people have got to purify ourselves. Maybe you're like I have been so many times, and you want to come to this altar. As she begins to play, the altar's open. You want to come to this altar this morning and say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, get anything in me that shouldn't be there, get it out.